Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
But praise God, this is really cool because this morning I pulled in and the scripture I'm preaching is out on the front. That's kind of cool, isn't it? And then I looked over here at the pulpit and here's Pastor's Bible open and it's open to the chapter I'm reading from. So you think God's, you know, got something to tell us this morning? I think he does. So if you'd like to open your Bibles, so you can have your Bible on the same page, it's in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I can't tell you the page number because we all got different Bibles. But I am going to use my Bible if I can find it. Where's my Bible? No, that's not my Bible. Oh, I know. I put my Bible in here. I was trying to be really cool. Here it is. All right. Galatians chapter 2. So this scripture, and it's verse 20, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This scripture has been rolling around in my heart for the past couple weeks, so I kind of decided this is probably what the Lord wanted us to talk about, and clearly it is, since it's out on the marquee. So let's take a look at it. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. So I titled this message, Walking Men, or Dead Men Walking. I think that's the name of a movie. Dead Men Walking. Well, that's us. We're dead men and women walking. Because we have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. You ever just stop and think about that? I've been thinking about that the last couple weeks. I just sometimes just lay down and close my eyes and just imagine myself stretched out on that cross. Just imagine what it was like to be nailed to that cross, to have the spikes going through the hands and the feet, and just imagine being hung on that cross. And I really, obviously, we can't even comprehend what that would have been like. But I've been imagining it. Because the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? Just stop right there. I have been crucified with Christ. And as I've been thinking about that, I thought the word identification came to my mind. Because that's what we should be identifying ourselves with. I have been crucified with Christ. And there's so many things in this world that one could identify themselves with and align themselves with. And if you ever wonder what you identify or align yourselves with, well, just look at the wallpaper on your computer or on your iPhone or something like that, right? Some people have a very strong identification with something. I know a colleague at work, and when he opens his iPhone, it's a picture of his daughter and a hockey player, because this guy loves hockey. He's all about hockey. And there's his daughter. It's not even his daughter with him. It's his daughter with the hockey player. You know, he just loves hockey. So he kind of really identifies with that. Some people are sports fans of, you know, some people are Dolphins fans. I know a guy who's a huge Dolphins fan. Everything he has, you too, huh, Kurt? We'll pray for you afterwards. Thanks for being the butt of our joke. Right, but ah, there you go. Then you can proudly be a dog. But some people are huge sports fans, right? I drove by a guy in his truck a couple days ago, and I mean, this guy was clearly a Dolphins fan. He had this huge picture of the Dolphins image, like emblazoned on the back window of his truck. I mean, it was, he had flaps in the truck that had a dolphin. You know, it was like this guy was into it. So, right, you know, and nothing, not that's necessarily wrong, but you know, people identify with different things. You know, that's their team, or boy, that's their drink. You know, some people really like Mountain Dew. Nobody I know in particular, my son, but, you know, and some of it's harmless, some of it isn't, right? But what do we identify with at the end of the day? Who are we, right? What is our identity? Well, I submit to us this morning, it should be, I have been crucified with Christ. And you know, to me, when I start to think about that, it's really comforting, actually, and freeing. And that might sound strange, but it's like, I'm dead. And now that I'm dead, I'm free from myself. And I don't know about you, but myself's full of a lot of junk. Worry, right? Fears, anger, you know? Every now and then stuff comes out and you're like, ooh, that's not good. That was inside there? Yep. You know? And it's like, it's good to know I'm dead, really. I mean, I'm truly, positionally, I've been crucified with Christ. And we've talked before, and I know pastors taught us about positional truth and experiential truth, right? Positionally, this is what's happened according to the Word of God. But what do we experience in our everyday lives? And what do we really live out? And if we could kind of move more in that direction of thinking and living in terms of the fact that we've been crucified with Christ and that we're dead, that's really freeing. It's liberating. So I would challenge us this next couple weeks just to meditate on that. I have been crucified with Christ. I have a scripture here that's similar to it, Colossians 3:3. For you died. You don't have to turn there. It's a quickie. For you died and your life is hidden with God in Christ. It's Colossians 3:3. You're dead. You died. It's Memorial Day weekend, isn't it? And what do we do on Memorial Day weekend? We remember with great thanks and in awe, the incredible sacrifice that men and women across this land have made for us for the past however many years, dating all the way back to the Revolution, right? We remember those who have fallen. It's a memorial, right? We remember those who've given that ultimate sacrifice. Well, there's been another death that we ought to remember, and that's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest death, right? That's the one, you know, so even as we celebrate this weekend, I was thinking about that this morning, and we go to maybe a service, or maybe tomorrow and there's a parade, or the laying of a wreath, or the playing of taps, whatever those type of things that we go through, which are awesome that we do this weekend. Let's remember the death of Christ on our behalf. And because of that, we too can identify with that. I have been crucified with Christ. I often refer to this book. Neil Anderson wrote a book called Victory Over the Darkness. And I have a quote here I'll read to you. He says, in fact, being in Christ is the whole theme of the New Testament. It's the entirety of the New Testament is being in Christ. Like Adam, we were created to be in union with God. But Adam sinned, and his union with God and ours as well was severed. It is God's eternal plan to bring human creation back to himself and restore that union that Adam once enjoyed. That restored union with God, which we find in Christ, is the essence of our identity, right? That's the essence, the true essence of who we are is a child of God. That's who we are. Before we're anything else, we are a child of God. I have been crucified with Christ. My life is lost in him. What a great place to be. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to let Paul expound on this a little bit here. Romans 6, starting in verse 1. I hope you guys brought your Bibles with you today. Oh, wow. We got it up there, too. Thank you, Chuck. And thank you, Bill, for getting the scripture back there. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin? We're dead. We're dead men. How could we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Anybody here been baptized? Right? I'm assuming just about everybody here, right? If you haven't, pretty soon we'll probably have a water baptism service. We usually do. Get baptized, right? That's a pretty awesome moment, right? It's a public declaration and profession of our faith in Jesus Christ, but it's also a demonstration, right, of what's happened in the Spirit. We've gone down in and come back up and been raised to newness of life. And that's what Paul talks about here. As you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. You really took that upon yourself. Verse 4, therefore, we were baptized with him through baptism into death, buried with him, excuse me, through baptism into death, that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Here it is again. I have been crucified with Christ. We're dead men walking. Right? I have been crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, to the extent that we think about that and meditate on that and really get that down on the inside of us is to the extent that we won't struggle with sin. Amen? I'll say that again. To the extent that we get that truth down on the inside of us, that I have been crucified with Christ, I am dead, right? That's to the extent we'll have victory over sin. See, verse 6, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 7, for he who died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Verse 10, for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Verse 11, likewise, you also. What should we do? Reckon yourselves. Reckon yourselves or consider or account to yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are alive to God. We have died with Christ. We have been crucified with Christ. And what does he go on to say in Galatians 2:20? And it is no longer I who live. You died, it's no longer you who live. Have a funeral service, you know? You're dead. It's no longer about you. Our death to self, and in our death to self, comes true life. It's really a scriptural principle. You find it all through the Word of God. As something dies, out of that comes new life. Right? That's just a scriptural principle. Think about John 12, 24 and 25. Very familiar to many of you, probably will be. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So in death, there's life. Amen? In our death to self, we find life. And Pastor always says this. He's been teaching us about this and reminding us of this for months, maybe years now. Remember, he always says, no more ordinary days. No more ordinary days. No more ordinary days. He says it over and over, and he lives it, right? He's always looking to serve and to pour himself out for the sake of Christ and for the sake of others because he gets it. He's a dead man walking, right? Why do we follow Pastor and imitate him as he imitates Christ? Because that man's a dead man walking, right? And that's a compliment. That's the highest compliment, right? He's given his life completely to Jesus. Amen? And he just lives to seek and serve and do the will of God, right? And that's and in dying and giving yourself over to the fullness of God and his purposes, we find life. Amen? Turn over, if you would, to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It is no longer I who live, right? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Luke 9, 23 to 25. Then Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross once in a while, daily, right? Daily. And follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? That's another scripture that's, to me, very liberating. That's comforting, right? We can lose ourselves in him. We're supposed to completely lose ourselves in him, to take up our cross daily, take up your execution stake daily, and follow him. For whoever desires to save his life, and isn't there an instinct, and it's the sin nature in every one of us, right, to hold on to our life, to hold on, to preserve, self-preservation, right? They say it's a basic human instinct, right? And there's a piece of that, obviously, it's good, right? You know, not going to get yourself killed, right, physically, and stand walk in front of a train or something. There's that self-preservation instinct, which in one way is obviously good, and God put it there. But there's another part of it that's got to go, and that's to hold on to the rights to our own life. And many of us, all of us probably in this room, were schooled that way. If you grew up in school, you learned that man is the measure of all things, right? Did you ever hear that in school? I did, right? Man is the measure of all things. That was the idea in the Renaissance, right? And you're the captain of our own ship, right? We're going to go and do what we, I'm going to do it my way, right? And there's a piece of all of us that's like, yep, you know, or even if you don't think about it, do you live that way without thinking about it? Right, you just kind of program that way. Get up, right? What am I going to do today? How many of us? We all do that, right? What am I going to do today? But maybe our thought should be, Lord God, what do you want to do with me today? Because I'm yours. I'm completely yours. What do you want to do in and through me today? What's going to happen today? And that's what Pastor Roy says, right? No more ordinary days. What do you want to do? What's going to happen today, Lord? Let's go. Right? What are we going to do next? Can you imagine living that way 24/7 all the time? At his service. Why? Because I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. It's no longer I who live. I died. Went into the ground through baptism. Came up. I'm dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And what is that old stuff? The self-life. Right? Our rights to ourself. And our rights to, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Nope. Nope. What are you going to do, Lord? What do you want to do? Old things have passed. Behold, all things are become new, are made new. And we go on in that chapter there in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He goes on to say, we're ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's our job. Or his emissaries. Aiden and I were talking before the service, and he was saying a lot of times ambassadors were the first ones to get killed. Because if a king would send the ambassador with a message to a foreign dignitary or foreign king, and if they didn't like the message, off with their head, and they'd send the head of the ambassador back to the king. And that was a message that, you know, they didn't like what he said. You know, no dice. Right? That person's on the front line. Right? But the word of the ambassador is not the ambassador's word. It is the word of the king or whoever sent him. And that's what we are, right? We're sent ones. Right? And we have a word, the word of truth, the word of the gospel, right? It's God's word. I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel, right? Romans chapter 1, 16, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That's our word. That's our testimony. It's not our, excuse me, it's his word coming through us. We're just the conduit. We're just the conduit. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Isn't that exciting? But Christ lives in me. I think about this, and I've shared this many times before with different groups. The thing that makes Christianity unique to every other religion on the face of the earth is that God dwells in us, right? Every other religion tries to get to God through some means, and most of them quite arduous means. Right? But ours is the only faith where we teach God makes his home in us. Marvelous. Isn't that just, it's unspeakable. It's like David said, it's such knowledge is too wonderful for me that God would want to dwell in us. Why? I don't know. He's an amazing God. He loves us. We're made in his image. That's why. Now, Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ dwells and lives in me. Marvelous. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. 1 Corinthians, if you'd turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And we'll look at verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Paul speaking here to the Corinthians, he says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Amazing. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? I love when Paul says that. Do you not know? And he says that because we don't know half the time. We forget. Isn't that amazing to think? This earth suit here, this body that we walk around in, this mortal body that's frail and weak, is the temple of the living God that he chose to tabernacle with us. Marvelous. Incredible. So that everywhere we go, he goes with us. And we can, as Pastor teaches all the time, we have the opportunity and the obligation to reach those around us. And as Elder Bonowitz was saying here at the beginning, you know, the world we live in doesn't want to hear our message. Increasingly, we know this. There's increasing pressure to keep your mouth shut, right? And I would encourage all of us, let's not succumb to that. You know, as we are dead with Christ, just do what he tells you, right? Do what he tells you and say what he tells you. Listen and do what he says. There's a cost and there'll be a price to pay, but that's what he's called us to do. It's not our life anymore anyhow, right? We just need to, be who he called us to be and not be ashamed and not be afraid to share what God has done in our lives and who he is, because the world around us needs to hear it. Amen? We are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn over right in the same book. Three chapters over, Romans 6, 19 and 20. Romans 6, 19 and 20. You know the Corinthians were a mess, right? Corinth was like, Yeah, Corinthians. I said that, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians, thank you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. The Corinthians were a wreck, right? It was the city of Corinth was, the center of gross idolatry, which we don't need to go into because it was gross. They were a wreck, and they were surrounded by debauchery of the worst order. Not unlike our society. I think it was worse at that time even than where we are today. We're getting there, but it was worse. So it's interesting to read Corinthians 1st and 2nd and just remember to whom he's speaking. These people were surrounded by gross sin and idolatry. And so he says, in the context of that, he says to them again, do you not, three chapters later, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've been bought. We have been bought. And what were we bought with? Remember, it says, I think in Peter, it says, we weren't redeemed with corruptible things. And he says, like gold and silver. Gold. Gold. Right? The gold standard. Gold is, right? Gold is valuable. The Bible says it's corruptible. Gold. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things like gold and other things, right? But with the precious blood of the Lamb, right? You've been bought. I've been bought. We are owned. We're not our own. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You are bought at a price. You are not your own, he said. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are God's possession. Ephesians chapter 2:10 said, you're Christ's workmanship, right? You're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he prepared for you beforehand. Ephesians 2:10, right? You're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he prepared for you beforehand. Every day we want to know, what's the work today, Lord? What is it today? What have you ordained today for me to do? What are we going to do today? No more ordinary days. Amen? What an exciting life. You know, I often think it'd be very easy to go through this life. Well, I guess it would be. It could be easy to go through this life and kind of just go through the motions and, you know, have a family and do this and then die and then die in Christ and go to heaven. But how much better to go through every day? What next, Lord? What are you going to do today? And it's in the small things most of the time, right? Just a word here or something here. But those are those little exchanges, those little moments. Wow, what a legacy for Christ we could leave. And not that we haven't, but let's continue to think along those lines. Another one. Let's turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Christ, we're talking about Christ lives in me. John 14, starting in verse 15. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. John 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, the world will not see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And Judas said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Really? Look at it, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Christ lives in me. We will come and make our home with him. That's incredible. God inside of us. God in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But it starts with, I've been crucified with Christ. We die. He takes up residence. The more we die, the more of him in there, right? Amen? Daily we die. Daily, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. And really, it should be more like moment by moment. I don't know about you, but if I take it up in the morning, I laid it back down about 15 minutes later. I take it up during my quiet time. About the time I get onto the expressway, I've already got it. I'm back off of it. It's my son, though, yelling at the person in front of me, get out of my way! I'm a very impatient driver. I'm not a good driver. I confess, not a good driver. Very impatient. Been known to yell at people through the glass. I don't make any gestures. I'll have you know that. No gestures. But what's the difference? It's in here, right? Maybe you're like, get out of my way! Grit my teeth. Oh yeah. Now, I can honk. Well, I don't honk, but I can like hurry up and sometimes honk. But they can't honk at me. Right? You know, if you're upset, like if you're a delight and, you know, they're not going quick enough, you're like, you give them a little, you know, hurry up, people. But when you didn't notice the light turn, they honk at you, how dare you? take up your cross and follow me daily. I don't have any Christian bumper stickers on my car, and there's a good reason. I should put one on there, but All right, you guys do it too. No. But, I mean, right? You take it up, you take up your cross, you're like, you know, you're good, and then you get up, and 10 minutes later, something happens, right? You say something stupid, you get in a fight, right? Your spouse, excuse me, you know, arguing, you know, getting angry. You get in the car and realize, I was angry, I'm angry. I mean, I get angry, you know, and you forget. You don't realize, you don't even, because it's you, you don't realize, I'm angry, or I'm anxious, or all worked up, right? And then I stop and think, wait a minute, I've been crucified, I'm not here for myself. This isn't about me, it's about him. What do you want to do with me today, through me? Who do you want to touch through me today? Christ lives in me. Really? Yeah. Jesus said, we'll come and make our home with you. And all these poor folks who are striving to get to God through some crazy means, whatever religion they follow. And we have the answer all along. God wants to be in you. He wants to dwell with you. What a marvel. It's the gospel, right? The good news. It's good news. God wants to make his home with you. Really? Yeah. I am not ashamed of the gospel, right? Praise God. Let me finish the scripture. But Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. How many people know this scripture? 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. Because it is a faith walk, isn't it? You don't see yourself on a, thank God, we're not hung on a cross, right? And it's easy to lay our cross down and take up our life again. It's a faith walk. It's and to daily take up your cross and follow him is truly a walk of faith. We think of faith in terms of other things sometimes, believing for people and praying for our sister Pauline and things of that nature. But just to take up your cross daily, to deny yourself, that's a walk of faith, right? I don't think we sometimes think about it that way. At least I don't. You know, that takes faith to say no to yourself and what you want to do and to say yes to Christ, moment by moment, acknowledging him. I love Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Acknowledge him. That's really taking up your cross and following him daily. In everything you do, all of your ways, all of your ways, even when you're at the wheel or whatever else it is, in all of your ways, where you're at work and you know, the Holy Spirit's nudging you to say something, and you're like, oh, I can't say that, you know. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen? And the life I now live, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's where it starts, right? It started with the sacrifice of Jesus. He went first, right? And this is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. He started it. Isn't that amazing? The God who spoke creation into existence, right, bled to purchase it back. What a God we serve. The God who spoke this whole thing into existence, bled to buy it back. We turned it over. Right? We turned it over in our rebellion and in our selfishness. We turned this whole thing over to the evil one. But God so loved us. He so loved us. He bled to buy us back. Isn't that amazing? What a savior. What a savior. I love that old hymn. What a savior. Don't remember the rest of the words, but I know that one. What a savior. He bled to buy us back. Who loves me. He says loved, but same difference. Love me. And gave himself for me. The least I can do is give myself back. Right? The least we can do is give ourselves and everything that we have back in his service. Daily. Whatever you need, Lord. I'm at your service. That's the challenge I want to leave all of us with. Myself, first and foremost. I have been crucified with Christ. Have you been crucified with Christ?
Yes.
Yes, everybody here, right? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Let's give up the title deed to ourselves. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Let's share that message. Christ could live in you. You could have the God, the only God, the true and living God on the inside of you. Wow, what a deal. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The free gift of God. Can you imagine? I think sometimes we don't meditate on the marvel and the wonder of what we have in Christ. And I think if we stop and think about it sometimes and really meditate on it, it makes us more willing or more predisposed, I guess, to share the gospel. Because we have the answer. You know, I was sitting with someone yesterday driving all around work with a colleague, and I thought to myself, you know, he left my presence, and I never really had a chance to talk to him about the Lord. You know, and maybe I should have. You know, I didn't have the nudge of the Holy Spirit, so I didn't, but I don't know, maybe God wanted to say something to that guy. What if he was driving afterwards to go to a relative's house a couple hours away? What if his car wrecked on the way? You know? I mean, it's that urgent. It's really that urgent. You know? We have a message of hope. Christ wants to dwell in you. He wants to be inside. He wants to make his residence inside of us. We have such a message. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, because we don't cease living, right? We don't cease living. We're still here. We're in the flesh, but we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.